Welcome to the Food for Thought podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by LoadSmart. In this episode, George Swartz, Vice President of Sales for LoadSmart's Transportation Solutions Group, talks about the logistics challenges that food and beverage processors face currently, as well as the trends leading operations into the future. Swartz also offers his viewpoints on how the industry can manage its carbon footprint and reach its sustainability goals through innovative logistics opportunities and tactics. He also offers his thoughts on how and when he believes electric vehicles will start to really impact supply chain and logistics in food and bev. I hope you enjoy today's episode. George, thanks so much for joining me today on our Food for Thought podcast. I really appreciate the time. Let's talk about logistics, the food industry, food and beverage. What are some of the logistics issues that are plaguing the food industry today?
I think you'll see there's a lot of general logistics issues that are plaguing all of transportation logistics. Yeah, there'll be some we'll talk about that are specific to food. But, you know, some of the general ones we're running into right now are we're starting to see tightening in the transportation marketplace again from a capacity standpoint. That's always an issue. When you think food, you start to think specialized equipment as well, because you're looking quite often at refrigerated or frozen needs and trailers and that sort of thing, and delivery trucks, et cetera. Those are in even shorter supply. I think one of the things we're seeing too, and it's a post-COVID phenomenon more than it was prior to, but we're seeing a lot more smaller, more frequent shipments. So shippers that, you know, used to be shipping truckload all the time are now looking at LTL, less than truckload. And when you start to look at temperature controlled, for example, there aren't nearly as many choices from a temp controlled LTL standpoint. And what that does, that forces new capabilities, the ability to optimize, the ability to combine orders or combine shipments to try to get back to truckloads or back to truckload with stop-offs, those kind of things. But that requires, you know, that requires some tools, that requires some expertise. And it's not a situation where a lot of companies have that. Even if they've got, you know, a decent transportation management system, it may not have the optimization capabilities with it. There are tools that do, obviously, but then not everybody knows how to use them from that standpoint as well. If you add to that, what we're seeing with, you know, what's happening in the supply chain and logistics marketplace, there aren't as many Gen Zers and millennials going into the field as there were, you know, with Gen Xers and baby boomers. And that's, you know, creating another kind of shortage that we hadn't thought about, and that's in planning and management personnel in the supply chain and logistics area. Yeah, so those things combine to make it, you know, kind of a difficult situation. Put on top of it then, you know, what we've been seeing with the economy and with a lot of disruptions in the supply chain, some that were foreseeable, some that weren't. And that puts even more stress on the whole logistics system and the need to be able to get ahead of this stuff and manage it. That's where companies are often turning to organizations like LoadSmart, you know, where we can provide managed transportation solutions. And there's a number of companies out there other than us that do that kind of work. But it allows you to get at the optimization capabilities to be able to supplement your team or be able to, as your team, you know, starts to retire or moves up within the organization, you don't have to backfill. You can utilize a managed transportation solution to be able to close that gap. So it's getting creative, and there's a lot of things going on, but, you know, those are some of the issues that we're seeing from a logistics standpoint.
You mentioned post-COVID, and what I wanted to ask as a follow-up was, are these issues new to the industry, or were they kind of rearing their ugly heads in a sense prior to COVID, and maybe COVID exacerbated them, or maybe COVID made them less of an issue? I don't know. You know, how does the landscape compare now when it comes to these issues versus pre-COVID?
When you talk about some of the issues that I spoke of, let's talk about, you know, shifting to smaller, more frequent orders, you know, increases in LTL. That was already going on. It was starting to be, you know, an issue for shippers, especially on the food side. COVID was really an accelerator. When you think about what we went into and the amount of consumer buying that went on and the changing of distribution networks, you know, having to turn on a dime, it really was an accelerator. So I think that was the big COVID impact. You also had exceptional demand during COVID because everybody was home. Everybody, you know, you weren't going out, you weren't going and doing your normal leisure activities, et cetera. So you were shopping online. You were, you know, you were ordering your food and having it delivered. I think it, you know, it helped companies like Instacart and others, you know, and DoorDash and those kind of delivery services. I think they blossomed and exploded during that. And frankly, a lot of them couldn't keep up with the exceptional demand. Now we're on the backside of that demand curve. Things have smoothed out, but the world's never going to be the same as it was kind of pre-COVID. It accelerated the, you know, not returning to the office. It accelerated the whole expectation around instantaneous fulfillment, and people's standards that they expected changed. And it's funny, we've seen it with, as this these two generations move into more management positions and decision-making positions, they grew up in this instant gratification kind of marketplace, and they expect that in the workplace as well of suppliers and providers and that sort of thing. So, you know, you've had a number of things coming together here to kind of change the landscape, kind of pre-COVID to post-COVID. Now, we're returning to normal, but we're seeing a lot more micro-fulfillment, smaller fulfillment centers closer to the market, which means replenishing those are smaller orders now coming in. And that's changed the landscape of what food and consumer packaged goods companies are dealing with.
So you've kind of gotten into a little bit of the trends coming forward with logistics and networks for food and packaged goods. What other trends are you seeing out there?
I think you're going to see a lot more emphasis, even more than before COVID, on last mile delivery. And getting closer to the marketplace, as I was alluding to. You know, you got a lot of companies that are investing in micro fulfillment centers. They're also incenting people to do the last mile delivery themselves and go and pick things up. So, you know, order online, take advantage of the technology, but then eliminate the need for the last mile delivery because you're willing to go pick it up yourself. So, you know, the old order online, pick up in store has become a reality. And I think we're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see traditional retailers, food and other categories, start to move to a lot more turning their retail outlets into fulfillment centers. I mean, Whole Foods has been going through this iteration for probably 2 to 3 years now, designating a certain amount of their store. You're seeing other grocery chains, you know, designate certain parts of their store as fulfillment. You know, so they're mini warehouses and creating micro fulfillment centers, and all of those kind of change the landscape and how I think about transportation and how I think about placing inventory and the frequency and the duration of transportation that I can tolerate, you know, in that kind of marketplace.
Let's discuss the role of private fleet assets. Should shippers consider private fleet assets or dedicated carriers versus brokerage?
It's interesting. And you've really got three categories there when you look at private fleet versus dedicated versus brokerage or regular commercial common carriers. The interesting thing with private is companies still do it, and there are reasons to do it. But you've got to look at, am I getting my bang for my buck with a private fleet? And where I'm going there is if that fleet is, you know, utilized, I think 8 hours. So maybe it's utilized 30% of the available hours for that equipment. You got to question, okay, am I getting the bang for the buck with my investment in this? and consider not just the investment in equipment and paying of a driver, but now I'm taking on extra liability because I'm operating a fleet and there's significant liability that can go along with that. And then I've got, you know, other costs, maintenance, replacement, depreciation, all those things. You've got to think like a trucking company, and you have to look at it really, you know, is this at least a break-even proposition for me, or am I going to lose money if I'm going to run this private fleet? So that's the big question mark. Now, specialized equipment, smaller equipment, so maybe box trucks or vans versus tractor trailers, there may be a good justification for that, and I can get all the utilization I need out of a last mile delivery fleet to do those sort of things. Dedicated contract is kind of the hybrid between owning my private fleet and going to a common carrier or brokerage to get my transportation. There, somebody else is still taking on the onus of making sure that fleet is utilized. They're doing the planning, they're doing the driver management, they're trying to get the most utilization out of it. So you get the benefits of that private fleet, but you don't have the onus on you for all of the utilization, for all of the maintenance, for the liability, those sorts of things. And there's many people that still think it's great to have a rolling billboard, to be able to have my name and my products advertised on the side of a truck. But I've got to weigh that, you know, against the costs associated with that. Then finally, brokerage and common carrier. The issue there is, rather than being in a fixed cost situation and having to bear and brunt all the costs, I'm able to manage my transportation costs a little tighter. I'm able to react to the market. If you look at, you know, the shifts that have happened in common carriage management today, used to be a company would go out, they would do an annual bid, award contracts in lanes, lock their rates in for a year. Now it's much more common to see quarterly bids and mini bids and mini RFPs and spot buys so that I can take advantage of what's going on with the market. Now there's some risk and downside to that as well, because if you catch the market on the upswing and you didn't have contract rates in place, you can suffer from that. But many companies who were locked into annual rates missed the whole last year when transportation rates dipped significantly, and companies who were a little more agile saved a lot of money on those rates.
Shifting gears to sustainability, put on your expertise hat here and offer our listeners some tangible ways that they can manage their carbon footprint when it comes to their logistics program.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. One, there's managing your current carbon footprint, and then there's a little bit of a look to where are we going from a sustainability standpoint. What's the near future hold? Today, you know, some of the best things that you can do is the optimization we were talking about earlier. Anytime I can combine orders or shipments into a full truckload, and I'm only running that one truck, I'm not going through a hub and spoke network now like I might have been with an LTL shipment, I'm saving miles. We just did an analysis for one of our clients that we had shifted quite a bit of their LTL into truckload or truckload with stop offs, and we were able to save them 300,000 miles on the year. That's significant when you think about the carbon footprint associated with those 300,000 miles, you know, in terms of fuel, in terms of emissions, in terms of, in the case of refrigerated, for example, fuel necessary to run the reefer. Also, clients that are running refrigerated freight, if you want to be more sustainable, and you have products that don't have to be refrigerated, you know, by separating those sometimes and getting those into other truckloads, I can reduce the dependence on the refrigeration unit, which again uses fuel, creates emissions, etc. So those are some of the big areas. Another one that I think is a great one for companies to think about, and they usually don't think about it as much from a sustainability standpoint, but if I can mode shift, if I can take my truckloads and put them on intermodal, and have them go via rail for the lion's share of the line haul, I'm saving there as well from a carbon footprint standpoint, because I'm not operating those individual trailers. They're going on a train, And you know, while there is still emissions and there's still carbon footprint associated with rail, it can be much lower than all of those trucks on the road. So those are some of the things I think that you can do today to be very sustainable or help with sustainability. The other one is, you know, watching idling time, watching the, you know, getting trucks in and out of the dock quickly. So they're not sitting there running and, you know, burning fuel. So, you know, that's more on the dock management, less on the transportation side. From a future state standpoint, from sustainability, I think one of the things that's going to help here, I think you're going to see commercial trucking adopt electric vehicles sooner than you're seeing passenger vehicles, you know, and their uptake. As soon as the technology is ready, I think you're going to see heavy adoption for a number of reasons. Not the least of which is the driver shortage we're dealing with. It's going to be easier to drive and easier to train people on an electronic tractor trailer or cargo vehicle than it is, you know, today's versions of that same equipment. And that'll help us, I think, attract more drivers, et cetera, into that. So, you know, those are some of the things that I see from a sustainability standpoint and that we talk to our clients about.
I'm glad you mentioned the electric vehicles. Out of curiosity, how far down the road do you see this happening? Is this more of a pie in the sky, Jetsons-like idea right now, or is it maybe right on the horizon?
I think it's right on the horizon, and I think you're going to see it come from the smaller vehicles up, because you're seeing several companies now that are developing and getting into partnerships on the cargo vans, you know, the larger, the Sprinter type size van that you see Amazon and others use today. You'll see that translate into bigger cargo vehicles. The biggest thing is solving the battery and the you know, how much time can I get out of a charge with that large piece of equipment. But I think they're working, you know, they're making strides in that. I think we're, you know, within a decade of seeing, you know, some very tangible results in this space and starting to see more and more of this equipment start to convert over.
So before I let you go, George, can you describe for our listeners the managed transportation offerings by LoadSmart?
With LoadSmart, you know, we offer a number of transportation management solutions. Our managed transportation group offers basically anything you would need from a transportation standpoint. And when I say that, we can come in, augment your team or become your team, and manage everything from carrier sourcing and procurement on the front end, which includes all of the bids and spot buys and all the things you would normally have to do. The full planning side of things, including optimization with a tier one optimization engine, and you know, all of your load planning, route planning, you know, kicking out all of that. Full transportation execution, and that, you know, that's receiving orders, assigning carriers, tendering the loads, doing the track and trace and visibility portion of it as you monitor the shipments on the outbound, confirming deliveries, expediting it where needed or doing exception-based management, and all the way through freight audit and payment, to the point where we can even take on your contracts as a shipper. We'll put them on LoadSmart paper, and we will handle paying the carriers and then just bill you back for what those charges are. So there's a number of things that we can provide. The other thing is, any of those discrete processes, if you, let's say that you have a good transportation management team, but you don't have optimization capabilities, we can do planning as a service. So we would take your orders on a daily basis, optimize them, develop your order and load consolidations and your load plans, feed those back to you guys, and then you could execute on it. So it's very customizable depending on the client's situation. So, you know, you don't have to be looking to outsource all of transportation to take full advantage of managed transportation services. But for people that would like to do that, you know, we're capable of doing that as well. The one thing about LoadSmart, we tout ourselves as a technology-enabled managed transportation service. And we've got a number of proprietary software tools and transportation management tools that we bring to the table when we come in for a client. Also, you know, just to kind of go off that path a little bit, there are clients who want, they just want the tools. And we have a digital team as well, where we have SaaS offerings to be able to do your own sourcing and procurement, to do your, you know, to do your own freight payment audit and other things. So there's a number of ways that we can put things together. But at the end of the day, if you know, Load Smart Managed Transportation is your end-to-end transportation services provider, and we customize to your needs.
For everyone listening in today to our Food for Thought podcast, thanks for tuning into this episode. You can find more of our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about anywhere you can find podcasts. Stay tuned for more episodes in the future, and have a great day.